This is World Cricket Weekly Talk, presented by Teachers Blended Scotch Whisky, the spirit of achievement. Nigel Reid alongside Zubin Sakari. Earlier we were talking about Ireland's triumph at the ICC World T20 qualifiers. And in the end, and they had to do it the hard way, they showed just how good they are on any given day with that schedule. And I think what they must be looking forward to now is what happens next, because it's all very well being the best of the associates, the best of the rest, but what Ireland has to do now to make its way along that ultimate path to Test cricket by 2020, that's the mission statement, is to go to Sri Lanka later in the year and actually compete and say we deserve to be here alongside the full members.
I completely support their venture in doing that. I think they're a class unit and a good team and a good structure, and I think they should be given ODI status permanently. I think they've done enough. They've proved a lot of people, you know, in every aspect and what they've been asked by ICC. So I'm in complete support of that. And I think they'll do well if they do get the opportunity to play against the full member teams. You know, they're a quality side that deserves to play some good cricket.
You have to be judged over a body of work over a decent period of time against decent opposition. Let's hear more and welcome our next guest onto the show. Here is Warren Dutram, who is the CEO of Cricket Ireland. So it is our duty, Warren, first and foremost, to say many congratulations to you and yours.
Thank you very much indeed, Nigel. That's very kind of you.
I guess no surprise that Ireland came out on top along with Afghanistan at these qualifiers, but do you agree with what Zubin was saying there? Really, the job is done in the United Arab Emirates rather than a championship one. You had to go through the process, but anything other than a victory here would have raised a lot of eyebrows, I think.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I suppose the very nature of the T20 format gives itself or gives every team more of an opportunity to create an upset than obviously the longer form of the game where the inherent class of a better team tends to show. You're right. I mean, I suppose Ireland did have the opportunity to play enough games to win, to build up some momentum and turn over opponents. But Phil Simmons, our national coach, he did pick Namibia as dark horses at the start of the event. And he was dead right. They did us at the very start of the event. And we are traditionally slow starters. But I have to say, I think this particular format probably suited us quite well, because by the time we had put that defeat behind us, I think by the time we won the final yesterday, I think we'd won 10 out of 11 fixtures. And I think the very duration, the very format, I think allowed us probably to demonstrate our class over the rest by the end. And I think even in T20 format, it's quite rare to have sort of seedings working out the way they did. But I think the two best teams were in the final.
Phil Simmons, by the way, wasn't the only one who thought Namibia would be a dark horse. Zubin, before this tournament started, you thought as well that they might give one or two a run for their money, and so they did.
Yeah, I've played against them before, and they are a good team and a good unit. So it wasn't a surprise, and I think Simo was the same. He's seen them before and competed against them. So I think everyone was weary of the Namibia clash.
Warren, talk a little bit about this tournament itself. Talk about the schedule and talk about the ICC's decision to say we're putting 16 teams in Dubai and in Sharjah, and only the fittest survive, only two get through. Is that fair?
I suppose, where did it start? I mean, initially, Nigel, the plan was that it was going to be 16-team qualifier leading to six teams going through to a 16-team T20 World Cup in Sri Lanka. Unfortunately, the ICC board, in its wisdom, determined that that number should be reduced to 12 when the decision was made to increase the number of teams in the World Cup, in the 50-over World Cup, from 10 to 14. You probably remember last year there was a problem between, should we say, the two parts of the world game, the full members and the non-full members, when the full members determined that the 50-over World Cup should be a 10-team-only event made exclusively of full members. We launched a fairly robust attack against that particular decision, with the upshot that it was a 14-team event in the end, and the ICC full members felt that in order to balance that particular scorecard, it was necessary to reduce the T20 World Cup from 16 to 12. But because the teams had already commenced qualification for the qualifier that has just finished, it was felt unfair to reduce the number from 16. So the equation became having to find two teams from 16, and it really would not have been, it really wasn't the easiest thing in the world for the teams to prevail. But in terms of the actual structure of the tournament in order to reach those final two, I guess you can't really argue with it if the two best teams prevail.
Talk a little bit about the quality, though. Is there an argument for the lobbyists, Warren, who would say, OK, Ireland, Afghanistan, probably the best of the associates, but as we've already discussed, Namibia, perhaps the Netherlands, are not too far behind. Is there an argument at this stage to say, just in terms of quality, that either of those teams, or three or four teams, regardless of ICC politics, should have had a shot in Sri Lanka this coming fall?
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, I don't think there's any doubt whatsoever that I think the event should be a 16-team event. The ICC Chief Executives Committee recommended to the Executive Board at its next meeting in April that the T20 World Cup in 2014 should be a 16-team event, that it reverts back to the original plan. And the idea is that the T20 format is the one that seemed to globalise the sport in the way that 50-over and Test cricket doesn't, and that it's a much more democratic form of the sport, I think, in the fact that, you know, it does provide an opportunity for smaller teams to be more competitive, I suppose, sooner in their development.
The very form of the game promotes the fact that upsets do happen, and that there is that potential for the smaller team, the minnow, so to speak, can have its day and create excitement in a very short space of time, in a three-hour time period.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. We compete better on a shorter format, of course, and that this gives us a bit of a taste of international sport as opposed to the 50-over where, you know, the better teams can roll three pretty quickly if you're not prepared. The shorter format, obviously, you know, the 120s, 130s, you can muster up sometimes, and that's fairly competitive if you bowl well, and it's going to probably come down to the last two or three overs if you can keep it tight in the field. Like Warren said, I think all associates won't want 16 teams at least, especially for this format, and hopefully going forward they can, you know, they push us in.
Warren, why is Ireland so good? Zubin spoke about it earlier on, just in terms of talent alone, the setup, perhaps the geographical proximity to the UK. You've got players playing first-class cricket. I mean, you've got Ed Joyce, for goodness sake, back playing for Ireland, having played for England. You seem to be coming up roses in all departments, but I'm sure there is more depth to it than just individual talent.
It's a good question. I think it actually did start with a group of talented cricketers, and I think it started with a group of talented cricketers in 2006 and 2007. And that included Ed Joyce, Owen Morgan at that time, and the group of young cricketers we have coming through now, the likes of Porterfield, O'Brien, Rankin, etc. I think what we saw, as in Cricket Ireland in 2007, because we were a desperately amateur organisation, there were 2.5 full-time members of staff, we probably had fewer than 13,000 cricketers, but we did have an exceptionally talented group of senior players at the top. And I think when we, you may remember Ireland beat Pakistan in the World Cup in 2007, you know, the day before Bob Woolmer sadly died. And I think what we in Irish, what used to be the Irish Cricket Union, thought was, okay, look, that probably had very little to do with us. What we want to make sure next time is that if the team is successful, it's going to be because we have provided as much support, backup, facilitation to the on-field efforts as the players. So in other words, we become as professional off the field as the players are on it. And I'd like to think that the success that the squad had in getting through to the Super 8s, the World T20 in 2009, beating England in the World Cup last year, and really doing what we did over the last 3 or 4 weeks, is as much testament to what's happened off the pitch in terms of creating the environment for the players to succeed, putting in place contracts for them to prepare full-time, increasing their remuneration to incentivize them to play for the country, bringing over the best teams in the world. We had England coming every other year. We have Australia coming every other year. Sort of actively pursuing full member countries to play. I think all of these things have made playing for Ireland something aspirational. And on the back of the success has increased the profile. The profile itself has led to investment, or has led to investment by or revenue from government and commercial partners. That in turn allows to invest in not just the men's senior squad in the things I've just described, but also in terms of the base of the pyramid, in terms of increasing participation. And we've doubled the number of players in the country in just 4 years, from about 14,000 to 28,500. And I think all of those things really have an absolute factor. And now what we're finding is that the the national media is really, really getting behind the cricket team as one of the major sports, when for decades, really, the likes of soccer, rugby and Gaelic games have sort of really been unchallenged at the top, and cricket really is now making a breakthrough.
Warren, we know you want to be a fully-fledged test-playing nation by 2020. I want to investigate that and talk to you a lot more when World Cricket Weekly Talk continues. Presented by Teachers Blended Scotch Whisky, the spirit of achievement.